Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 301 of Her, the podcast, where you're going to hear the naked truth about her mind, her body, her life, and her fitness from the fit chick. That's right. Absolutely. Our own fit chick. She's laughing already. Oh my God. So you're going to love this. So just sit down, hold on to your bra straps. It's going to be a good one. Before we begin, just know that this episode is made possible by our wonderful friends at Smarty Pants Women's Vitamins, the delicious once-a-day gummies that contain all of the essential vitamins, minerals, and omega oils customized just for women. To learn more, hop on over to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. Now, here's your first reminder to click on to iTunes after this episode to rate and review the show, because I love to hear from you, okay? It's as simple as that. Your feedback, golden. Love it. All right, I'll give you another reminder later on after the episode, but get ready. All right, it's time for Her.
Her, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind, her body, her life. It's all about Her.
So Celine Yeager is my expert for all things fit chick. What the hell is a fit chick? She's going to define it. She's a health and fitness writer par excellence who lives what she writes as a trainer, a USA cycling coach. Oh my God. She is a certified nutrition coach. She is a pro-licensed off-road racer and all-American Ironman. Whoa, whoa, Ironman triathlete. You're going to have to say something about that little thing, okay? I think, oh my God, we keep saying iron something. We're going to figure this one out. But here's the gig. I've known Celine forever, maybe forever. Nah, close to forever. She's probably one of the most talented writers I've ever worked with. And with any luck, we're going to be working together on my next book. So I can't even stand myself. I'm so happy. A little happy dance. Do you hear me clicking away? That's me. All right. Now, in addition, she's also a passionate woman all about ramping up all women's fitness levels, but especially those women who are 40 years old and older, because that's the time when everything's hitting the fan and everything's heading south too. And you know what I'm talking about. Do not have to even talk about that. So I'm bringing Celine on because she has some of the coolest messaging. She has her own new podcast and her books, Roar, the big book of cycling for women, Rush to Glory. We're going to hear about all of that. First, Celine, welcome to the Her podcast.
I am so excited to be here. I love what you're doing. The Mutual Admiration Society we have going here.
Oh my God. Can we just do that for a while? Yeah. Let's just, you know, I'll rub your back, you rub mine. I mean, it's all virtual anyway. It's a weird world we're living in. We get what we can, and that's all I can say. Celine, what got you into the whole fitness gig? Was that like, did you have an aha moment somewhere along the line, looked in the mirror, screamed and said, I can't do this anymore? Or were you kind of like, you know, you popped out of the embryo and you were on a bike already? What's going on with that? Tell me.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think about it a lot. Yes, no, maybe. I mean, honestly, I grew up and I was always a very naturally active kid. Like, I always wanted to be outside. I rode my bike all the time, even after I got a driver's license. But I kind of grew up, like, nobody raced bikes. I knew nothing about that. And I grew up in, like, you know, an old coal town, and I waitressed, so I would smoke cigarettes and sneak out of the house with all my other friends. So, you know, so it wasn't like I was a big fitness person right from the get-go. I was just super active and just living a normal life. And after I got out of college, I became a medical writer. I always liked to write. And I couldn't find a job, and there were these jobs for medical writers. And I was like, ooh, I'll try it. an Oh My Lord, Pam. I lived, it was before the internet, so this is a long time ago. I lived with a Dorland's dictionary on my desk. And I would.
Oh, Dorland's. Oh my God, I still have mine. We're talking ancient text.
Oh my God. I would just try, because yes. I was writing for things like infectious diseases in children and, you know, radiology today. And I was like, I know nothing, but I just kept faking it. And I would just be like with the Dorland's dictionary.
You're like, oh, sure, I know that. Yeah, oh yeah, I'm down with that. Yeah.
I thought I was going to go pre-med, but then I decided that was too much school. So God bless you, my Lord woman. But anyway, so I wasn't completely ignorant, but then I was like, a little light bulb didn't go off that I wanted to get into consumer-facing press. Like, I liked it, but I didn't want to be writing for the doctors. I wanted to be, like, translating some of what I was learning for, like, the lay people, right? Like, you know, like, so that's where Prevention Magazine and Men's Health and Women's Health and all of that. So I started just firing off resumes to Rodale Press at the time, you know, that was a parent company. And eventually one of the headhunters there found my resume and I got hired. And that changed the trajectory of my life forever. Because I had not ridden my bike in a long time. I had been living in Philly and, you know, still just sort of, you know, I'd go for runs and go to the gym, but I wasn't doing anything special. And when I started there, I fell into this group of people that were active all the time. Runner's World was there. Bicycling was there. You know, all the people at Men's Health and Women's Health, and they can encourage you to go to the gym, and you got bonus points if you worked out, and, you know, you could earn sweaters and all kinds of things. So anyway, I fell into this group and they're like, oh, you should ride with us. And they were like, you're pretty good at this. You ever think about racing? I was like, no, I'm not going to race. And then they eventually coaxed me into it and I won. So I guess I had like an innate talent that I didn't know I had. And that just changed everything. And at that point, like, I really loved it. And I, you know, I started writing for bicycling and my life just dovetailed in this just wonderful way. And it has ever since.
I love this story because I want every woman out there on the Her podcast to just listen to the trajectory of your journey. You know, you're one of these people who's just a beautiful example of you show up, you explore, you're not afraid to just put it out there. I mean, what's the worst that can happen? They'll tell you, that sucks. We don't want you.
Yep.
you know what I mean? I mean, again, then what do? You go, oh, okay. And then instead of being paralyzed, like, oh my God, they didn't want me. I must be fat and ugly and stupid. No, they just plain didn't want you, period. End of story. If something didn't fit, didn't work, you move on. And that's exactly what I love about your journey. None of which is easy by any means, but what it is it's an attitude thing, which I love. Now, let's spring up here for a minute to why you want to message this. Now, you've got books, which are absolutely killer. You've got a new podcast. Tell us about the podcast and why it is that it's so important for you right now at this stage in your life to be having a podcast that is entitled Hit Play, Not Pause. And by the way, everyone out there, I was just on the podcast. It was way too much fun. I could have sat there with Celine maybe forever. And I played with that whole, that last word, pause a million different which ways, which is hit play, not just stuck with perimenopause, or menopause. So hit play, not pause, get on out there. What does that mean? Where did you get all this from?
Well, honestly, it was a little self-serving, that's okay.
That's okay.
I was sort of a late bloomer in the competitive space. You know, so like I said, I got that job and then I met these people and they're like, oh, you should race. Well, I'm in my mid-20s by that point. Late 20s, actually 27. And then, you know, somewhere along the line, I was 39 when I saw an article, Pam, that was like something that I would read. Be an Ironman triathlete in 16 weeks. And I remember my husband was out in the yard and my window faces it. So I opened the window. I was like, I think I'm going to do an Ironman. I think it's like 4 months, you know, we can do that. And he's like, oh, okay. Literally. So then I started trying to swim, but I knew nothing about swimming. Like, I didn't know any of the vernacular. Like, they had these workouts. I was like, I have no idea what they're talking about. So I hired a swim coach, and she's like, oh, my husband, you know, he's an Ironman coach. You should bring us both on. I was like, oh, okay. And then he had me, you know, shoot off some of my race results and my times and stuff. And he was like, you could win this thing. And I was like, oh, I don't want to hear that. Oh, my God, I don't want to hear that. Like, all of a sudden it's gone from 16 weeks to, oh, you could go to Kona or something. So I hired them, and 16 weeks became 10 months, 12, I can't even remember. It was a long journey. And I nailed every single workout. I did not miss a single workout. It was like the year I did everything right is what I call it. And I went to Ironman Louisville, and I won the thing, and I went to Kona 6 weeks later. So that was when I was 39, and then I got picked up by this semi-professional sort of mountain bike team, and I started racing around the world. I raced in Africa and Brazil, and it was like this amazing journey through my 40s. And everyone was like, I didn't realize that I was supposed to be too old. Like, I just didn't. I didn't know that. Like, until people would be like,
ooh, wait a minute. I love that. Okay, listen to her out there. When you go, oh my God, I'm just too old for that. Just shut up. Okay, just tell yourself no.
Yeah, it wasn't,
you know,
other
just
people
go out
would be
there.
Like, how old are you? Aren't they like half your age? And I'd be like, I don't worry about the ones half my age. You know, like, I worry like the ones that are a little older because they have more experience and, you know, miles in their legs. But then
there you go.
Yeah. But then somewhere, you know, like very honestly, around 47, 48, all that stuff that people talk about, I was like, oh, this is what they're talking about. You know, like, it's like, where are my muscles going? Like, I never had a belly, you know, like.
Oh, wait a minute. You wouldn't happen to be talking about the perimenopausal shape shifting.
Totally.
And
like,
the fact that your whole body is turning into jello.
That thing that happens to everyone else. You know, like, and then all of a sudden you're like, wait, that's not supposed to happen to me. But it did.
I love it. So then what happened when you saw that? Did you panic? Yeah, you know, because so many women out in the Her Podcast land, you know, they look at themselves and they go, wait a minute. It's like you wake up in the morning.
It's almost
and
like overnight.
You are different.
I know it can't be overnight, but it sure feels that way. Well, this is, you'll love this. So I had that book Roar that you referenced before. Is this book about female physiology and training with Dr. Stacey Sims. And it's all about working with your physiology and, you know, optimizing your performance. And we are working on another book right now that is a follow-up for the menopausal audience, 40 plus. And I stood there and I had a total freak out. I'm like, I can't write this book. I am a mess. I'm not living this, you know, like, it's very inauthentic of me to write this book. And I can't keep it together myself. I called her. I'm like, I don't know. And she's like, calm down. And then, you know, she gave me some advice and I worked with the advice. I was like, okay, you know, and it's not like I'm going to turn back time forever. You know, that doesn't work, but there are definitely things you can do to mitigate these changes once you realize they're happening.
Like what? Like what? Like what? You're teasing us. So give us some examples of what worked for you.
Well, you know, I had to change my training, right? I had to like do more of the high intensity interval stuff, the interval training, not just, you know, race once in a while or skate by in a lot of volume. I had to like change how much I was training and train a little smarter. Stuff I've told people for a million years to do, you know, but wasn't necessarily doing myself. Lifting heavier weights in the gym, lifting, you know, I would typically do sort of that 8 to 12 repetition range, taking that down, you know, really stimulating my muscles in a way that they weren't getting stimulated. I started using some adaptogens, honestly, like ashwagandha has been a friend. So, you know, just like little things, but they've definitely made a difference.
Okay. And so when you began to do all of this, what else did you do? Talk to me about your diet, your nutrition, because clearly that's got to figure in here somewhere.
It does. And I've always been a pretty good intuitive eater, quite frankly. I just needed, you know what, Pam, the thing that I needed to do more than anything is like feed myself enough. And Stacey Sims is that co-author I've been talking to. Has hammered that onto me for years. And we've known each other for a decade and she's been hammering that on me forever. Because as soon as you start to have that, oh, where's this fat coming from? Why is my power down? What's the first thing you want to do? Eat less, train harder. right? And that is really actually not what you should be doing in that space. Because I wasn't, I really was not eating enough. Because I was afraid of this weight gain. And that's so counterproductive. It's so counterproductive. You just, your body just goes, oh, okay, I'm going to shut stuff down. Something must be wrong. And so I made sure that I like did a little tracking. I don't like to get really anal with numbers, but I did a little tracking and made sure I'm like, okay, I burned 2,700 calories. Did I match that at all? Usually the answer was no. You know, so just trying to make sure that I'm getting the nutrition I need, you know, eating carbohydrates, don't being afraid of carbohydrates. Like I went through that whole thing, like it's in the ether, right? And you're like, oh, I better not eat a carb. But like, that's just dumb. So really just coming at myself with a clean slate and just being like, you must fuel yourself. And you can tell when you're eating well, you feel better. Your mood's better. Your energy is better. I was using an Oura ring, you know, it's kind of like the Whoop strap thing, sort of to track my recovery and to make sure I take care of myself. And things fell into place pretty well. I won Iron Cross, which is this big race that I won the first time at 40. I won it again at 50. And it was very exciting for me.
I love it. I love it. So has it been difficult for you to maintain this?
You know, the funny thing, I was just having this conversation with another woman, is what I find hard now is that honestly, it is harder. You know, like I used to be able to get away with a lot more and still perform very well. And now I do need to do all that mobility stuff. You know, I use my foam roller, I do mobility exercises, I do all of those prehab kind of things to stay on top of my game. So yeah, you know what? You are working harder to maintain or to not lose, and that's kind of a bummer, but you're also really lucky to be able to do it, in my opinion. Like, I feel very fortunate that I can still use my body in this way and appreciate, you know, exercising and being active. But yeah, it is, I'd be lying if I said it wasn't more work. It is.
Okay, so, so a woman comes to you, right, and she's mm-hmm. like in her late 40s, she's going through perimenopause, she's going through the shape-shifting, and she's feeling helpless, hopeless, and defeated. And she's trying fads, she's trying everything she can, and can't seem to get this thing under control. Where would you have her start? And I'm a firm believer, as you're well aware, of small steps. What would you advise her?
Wow, well, that's a huge question, because I don't know what is she doing now, right? But I would...
Let's just say she's sedentary, her eating is erratic, you know, she hasn't really been doing any kind of routine fitness, and now, of course, with COVID, she's working at home and really super sedentary and is feeling like she's a total mess.
Yeah, I mean, I always like to start with somebody's mental state, because I think if you can't, that's the central governor, right? Your head is sort of controlling the rest of it. And I never have prescribed to like forcing yourself to do things, or too often being healthy is framed as some sort of punishment. And I have never subscribed to that. I don't believe in that. I think that, you know, you wake up, and then I would just have her just little tiny step routines, like just go for a 5-minute walk first thing in the morning. Like literally, just maybe you have a dog, walk the dog. If you don't have a dog, still go out. Just turn on your day in an outward way that is active. You know, instead of like so many people grab their phones, sit down to the computer, and boom, like they're right in it, and then they never get out of it. And I like to people like, just start your day with something, just something active. And then.
But here's the deal though, Celine, you know, let's talk about this for a second. So they've read this and they've heard this a million times, yet they don't do it. And you're absolutely right, by the way. It was so funny. When I wrote my very first book for consumers, that, you know, this is when I kind of formalized my three M's, mind, mouth, and muscle. Notice what comes first, mind. And when I actually published the, when I was writing the book at the time, the editors at this very large publishing group, this was actually Viking Putnam Penguin, you know, they were arguing with me. No, 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 don't start with mind. We'll leave that till last. Let's go right to the mouth, you know? And I'm like, no, 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 no. See, if you want me to write this book, I'm going to be starting with the mind. Are we clear here? Okay. And, you know, then they grumble and kick, you know, kick cans and do whatever. And I said, just watch what happens. Of course, I was right. Because the mind rules. Now, let's go to the mind for a minute. So if you look at a mind of a woman that I just described, one of the things I have found that really works, and I know that you've incorporated this in your own programs, is making this relevant and meaningful to their life. So for instance, instead of, you know, like one of the things I started backing away from if someone wasn't already like an athlete or something like that, was basically just saying, do it for your head.
Yeah.
You know, just take your head for a walk.
Totally. And that's it's what sort I was of trying a, to get at. It's like, get out of that.
Yeah, phase. Yeah. Yeah. Take your head, just take it for a damn walk. But then what will happen is once you sit down, what makes it relevant and meaningful is that your brain will function much better mm-hmm. with the work that you're doing.
So
you got to reach, yeah, you got to return on investment. I think a big mistake, and thank God you don't do this, and that's why I love you so much. So many people out there treat people like robots, like just get out and hammer out 10,000 steps and this and that. They don't even connect with the damn mind. There, it's all about metrics. It's all about, you know, do this, not that. And you're like, wait a minute, there's a human being powering through this. Have you even, you know, tried to get inside their head at all? Just unzip their brain and hop in there and look at the world through their eyes. And that's what, that I think is the biggest challenge. Honestly, the rest of it's a snap. Because once you do have your head screwed on right, once you see that you're nourishing your mind, body, and spirit, nourishing, okay, hello, you know, the food that you're eating, at the same time, you're walking your head around, you're running your head around, you're biking your head around. You have this beautiful mind-body sync that 100%. Really works.
100%.
Doesn't that make sense?
Yeah. Oh, no. And that's like, and that was part of this Hit Play, Not Pause podcast that we had started talking about is that the title of that is meant to get to your mind first. It's like, this is about like, getting away from that, I'm too old. I there's a shrinking back that happens, you know, when all these changes happen. And instead of like shrinking back, I want people to like go forward, you know, but it does start with your mindset and it starts with like just being like, get, like you said, like putting your head in a better place. And I know that's easier said than done. So this podcast is to like, bring everybody in and let's start talking about menopause. And this, you're not alone. And this is the stuff that's going on. And it's true and it's real, but it's not the end. You know, you could live half of your life in this space. Let's make it great. You know, and you can make it great, but it starts upstairs. It all starts upstairs, every single thing. But if we don't talk, nothing happens. If you don't see other people going through it or don't hear these stories or don't have people like to share wisdom with, nothing happens. Like that, it, all of it starts between your ears.
I absolutely love that. And so for all the women out there, I don't care how old you are, at some point you will be in your late 30s and early 40s. That's as early as perimenopause starts. And that's when, you know, funky things start going on. Hormones start shifting. So does your body weight. So does the distribution of your fat. It's really important.
Your sleep is disrupted.
Oh my God.
You
know, it's just, it's kind of a cluster. And yet at the same time, what I like to do is remind women, you know, consider the alternative. Now, come on. You're here to open your eyes and wake up and rock and roll in another day and, you know, terrorize the neighborhood and have yourself a damn good time while you're at it. Kick ass and be badass, as I said on your podcast. It's just, you know, you can't do that if you don't feel good about yourself and if you don't have the mind and body to be able to do that. Yes, it was easier when you were younger, no doubt, no question. I mean, seriously. However, you know, here you are in your late 30s, early 40s, early 50s, early 60s, whatever. Okay. What you got to do is just, you know, leverage everything that you have in your life and then get as healthy and fit as possible. And so, you know,
you also need to go. Is use all of the tools that you have, because we're talking about women who are accomplished in much of their lives and who are compassionate and who help others and like they've got this giant toolbox that they use for everybody else. Open that toolbox and start using some of those tools on yourself. Self-compassion is a huge part. Like, you know, finding out, like, giving yourself time, giving yourself space, you know, like that is what women at this point need to do, is take that giant toolbox that they've built to raise kids or do whatever they do and be helpful to everybody else. And now use some of those tools on yourself. You earned it.
I absolutely love it. Now, if you want to really freak out, ladies out there, you know, the wonderful website that Celine would love for you to see is Celine Yeager. That's YEAGER.contently. It's basically content. Contently.com. And there you'll see all of her beautiful books and her work and back and forth. But if you really want to see an eye-opener, just flip and Google CelineYeager.com. Okay, and that's S-E-L-E-N-E Yeager, YEAGER.com, and totally freak out when you see what she looks like. And I'm laughing because you are seriously, if I looked up badass and kickass right in Webster's, your picture right there, it is terrifying. And so you've got muscles, you're sinewy, you're ripped, you're right in front of your bike, and it's all pretty crazy. And so I think a lot of women would look at that and say, good for you, Celine, man, you just totally kill it. Look at me, I'm a train wreck, it's too late. What are you gonna say?
It is not ever, ever, ever too late. It is not ever, ever, ever too late. Like, I have seen so many people just turn their lives around. One of my most dear women that I've raced with, she was 63 when she took up mountain biking. 63. And she kept sort of like being down. Like, why didn't I start this earlier? And like, I'm like, you've started it now and you've got all this time ahead of you. Like, time marches no matter what. Like, so many times I'll tell someone, like, you know that 2 years, 3 years, like, yeah, it might take you a year to get to where you want to be. It might take you 2 or 3. But 2 or 3 years is going to pass whether you sit there and be sad or whether you, like, turn your head and be like, okay, like, let's get on the path. And then once you're on that path, like, good stuff continues to happen and makes you feel better and keeps you on that path. But none of it will ever happen if you don't get on that
path. Yeah, and you can't be drowning in shoulda, coulda, wouldas.
Everybody could do that.
No, I mean, you know, like, we could keep this party going forever with that. Instead, it's like, look forward. Just say, the past is what it is, and this is the present. It literally is a gift to me. I'm here. Okay. After a certain age, we're going to call it 50. When you wake up in the morning, that's very cool. Because a lot of people don't, okay? And then it only gets more intense the older you get. And so, you know, now all of a sudden, you know, one of the things, and I'm going to ask you, one of the things that I have found that really, really, really works to redefine the narrative as a woman gets, you know, is transitioning through perimenopause, menopause, is to is to sit down and to start practicing gratitudes. And, you know, once you realize what you're really grateful for, A, I'm grateful just to be here. I'm grateful for every breath I take. And then you say, I'm grateful for the opportunity to pick up mountain biking. How cool is that? Who the hell cares whether or not you didn't pick it up 10 years ago? Who cares?
Right.
At the end of the day, right? This is different. Does this make sense?
Oh, yeah. No, and you're like, live forward. You know, when I raced, I would always be like, race forward. Don't look back. Don't look over your shoulder. nothing good's happening back there. Look forward. Like, that's where you want to go. And I think that, like, too many people, like, as they hit 40, 50, they keep looking in the rearview mirror, right? And I'm like, take that off. I mean, you know, you look at it and say, like, oh, if you want to, like, pat yourself on the back and all the stuff you've accomplished, great. But then at some point, like, you're still writing this story. You're still living this story. And so, like, look forward. Look for things. I think when you get older, like, it's really, really important when you're talking about the physical stuff, when you're talking about events, you know, whatever you want to call it, like, that you need to find things that you do, that do give you, they inspire you. Maybe they scare you in a good way. They give you some joy. I think a lot of people have this idea that everyone who goes to a 5K or everyone who goes to a triathlon or everyone who goes to something is an athlete, and that nothing could be further from the truth. Nothing could be further from the truth. Maybe 10% of anybody, when you go to an event, is truly like in it to try to win something and is an athlete. Everyone else is there is just to engage through their body and have an experience. Everyone else. Like, and once you know that, life changes.
Yeah, suddenly you become, well, you know, you really become much more fearless and adventuresome.
Yeah.
And you just go out there and you say, hey, what's the worst that can happen? Ask yourself that question all the time. What's the worst that can happen? You know?
And if you come in last, you will have more people applauding for you than the person who
exactly.
comes in.
And then the fact that you showed up. Right? You showed up.
Yep.
Dude, you showed up. And in this case, dudette. You showed up.
Yeah, no, totally. It's everything. Or look around. Like, there's so many things you can engage in. Get a stand-up paddleboard, you know, like, take a yoga. There's so many things that just try stuff.
Right.
We don't need to stop trying stuff just because we're a certain age.
Yeah. So what was it? All right. Oh, here it is. Here it is. You ready? Okay. All right. So it is, we don't stop playing because we grow old. We grow old because we stop playing. And that's what is seriously, that should be the motto for your podcast. I'm not even kidding. It's George Bernard Shaw. We don't stop playing because we grow old. You know, when people say, oh, I'm too old to do that. No. We grow old because we stop playing. There's a whole play science here. There's actually a journal of play science. Swear to God, can't make this up. And I actually talked to a lot of the early pioneers in this whole field. And then eventually it got, it sort of transitioned over to adult recesses. You know, it's a little play on the whole thing.
Yeah.
But like, just get up and move and have fun and be joyful and crank up some music and,
totally.
You know, smile like hell and dance and, you know, do whatever, you know, gets you going one way or the other. But please, you know, do it with play in your heart. It's so interesting, that Stanford study that always cranks out of my mind, where they found that children laugh on average 300 times a day. You want to guess what it is for adults?
Oh, no. That's going to be a sad statistic. No, I laugh.
Yeah, it's about 10 or less.
I was okay? going to guess that. That's sad. That makes me very sad.
Yeah, it's like, people, come on. You know, like, I'm not even talking about slapstick. I'm saying a really good belly laugh. Like, oh my God, that was just the best ever. And back and forth. This is why some of those, you know, Comedy Central things and the Netflix comedy specials and whatever, you know, throw up a little, you know, Dave Chappelle or, you know, whatever, and just sort of have a good laugh. You know, sometimes you just have to laugh about it all because it's so nutty out there anyway.
You absolutely but have to laugh about it all. You absolutely
I know, seriously. But, you know, in your brain, you have only two choices. The first choice is to be joyful or you can be totally stressed out. Your brain cannot do both at the same time. I find that fascinating. It's not like they're like dueling it up out there. What happens is your brain is going to be switched depending upon what you want. And so I'm voting for joy and a really good belly laugh. What do you say?
All the time. All the time. Another one that I like to turn to my TV is because I do get extremely nervous. Like I have like performance anxiety kind of things, right? So, but anxiety, like that kind of nervousness and excitement are the same feeling, right? So whenever I feel something that feels like that kind of nervousness might be keeping me from something, whether it's like going to like, I remember the first time I went to like a CrossFit gym, I was like super nervous. I'm like, maybe you're just excited. You know, and like, so you might have to lie to yourself a little bit, but it works for a while.
You know, just like, well, no, you know, little... you are it. You know, you fake it till you are it. So you walk in there with a smile on your face. Deep inside, you're going, oh, my God, just kill me now. And then, you know, you get into it. And you realize, hey, not so bad. As a cyclist, I have to tell you, I never clipped in. OK, which, you know, for people who do biking
even
and stuff.
Even during triathlon?
No. Before I did triathlons, all right, I just did my usual, it was the cage, you know, they have that cage on little, you know, pedal and stuff. And I really wasn't that much into cycling. The minute I started getting into cycling and I wanted to do triathlon, I said to myself, girlfriend, you're going to have to learn how to clip. And the minute I started just having some really fun laughing about it, because it was hysterical. I'd put one clip in, be too terrified to put the other one in, because then I realized, oh, my God, I'm clipped onto this thing. And if it all falls over like a cartoon, you know, I'm going with it. And then I realized, wait a minute. No, you're supposed to clip out. Right. And you're supposed to do it really quickly. And so let's start practicing clipping out. Let's just, you know, take it. But it was hysterical. The, you know, and a lot of people would have said, oh my God, it's too hard. It's too scary. I don't know, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I just turned it into something where I laughed with myself. I said, okay, how are we going to screw it up today? And then one day I clipped in perfectly, came up to that red light and I clipped out, you know, like in the nick of time perfectly.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden it was there, but it took me a
while. And how could you feel about yourself, right?
Oh my God. I felt like, seriously, I had just won a triathlon. I mean, that's it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the other thing about taking stuff up. Like, when you take up an activity later, you've got nowhere to go but up. That's a great feeling for a while, right? Like, if you just take up something now, you, like, instead of, you know, when you take up something younger, like people who take up running or take up cycling, then they're sort of fighting to keep maintaining, you know, where they are, not slipping backwards. But when you take up something a little later, you have nothing to go but forward and up for a while. It's
I love exciting. It. I love it. Okay, now we're going to be winding this up. Now we're calling this, and now a word from our fit chick. You are now designated our official fit chick. So now,
very honored.
What as we bring this whole thing to a close, what is your word from the fit chick? And now a word from our fit chick. What's it going to be?
What is my word? I have to, can I steal a word from your podcast earlier?
Absolutely.
Can I steal off? I mean,
take it. Take it and run with it.
I have to, just because I was so, like that, I listened to Pam's podcast with Gretchen Reynolds all about awe. And like finding awe in the everyday, like in your walk, like noticing the birds and noticing the clouds and just sort of how beautiful life is. And I think one of the reasons that I find all my exercise really, really joyful and makes me so happy and makes me so content is that I unknowingly have been practicing this the whole time. So I would encourage everybody to really double down and like look at the world around you when you go on that walk. Like, just take in stuff. Like, look at you around your neighborhood. Sometimes I see things like little sculptures in people's yards that I've never noticed before. I was like, that's really adorable. Like, there's squirrels chasing each other. That puts your head in such a better space, and it encourages you to continue moving your body, and all of a sudden you find flow. And if I wanted to have one word today, maybe it's that. Flow.
Yeah,
you get into
I
this
love
wonderful
it.
Flow state.
Yeah.
Where
and oh yeah, everything comes together, and it's so,
the
so
best feeling. I was
smooth.
In such flow today because of the awe that I had listened to.
I know you're so listening. Oh my God. I just love it.
Yeah.
All right. Now, we've been listening to Celine Yeager, who is our all things fit chick for her podcast. She has her own podcast, which is awesome. Awesome. Which is called Hit Play, Not Pause. Learn more about her wonderful work by going to either CelineYeager.com, and that's again, Y-E-A-G-E-R, or Celine Yeager, Contently, that's CONTENTLY.com, and you'll be able to see all the wonderful work that she's done. Celine, thank you so much for being on the Her Podcast.
It's been a total pleasure.
All right, everybody, you heard it. Run on over to iTunes now. Rate and review the show. I want to hear from you because I'm Dr. Pam Peek, host of the Her Podcast. Follow me on Facebook at Dr. Pam Peek or Twitter at Pam Peek MD or Instagram at Pam Peek MD. And remember to catch every single episode of the Her Podcast on iTunes or Radio MD. Thanks for listening. Stay safe and stay well.